Guys, hello and welcome back. I'm Jojo Fraser. It's time for Emojo Injection, episode 196. Boom, bam, bash. Shall we jump in? Let's do it. Get those seatbelts fastened and let's jump in. Let's dive in, guys. And wake that emojo up. Okay, now. Let's do it. Okay, welcome back, you beautiful, beautiful human. Get in the cave, let's have some chat, let's keep it real, let's try and fire up our mojos, wake them back up again if we can. They're always in there, just need a little bit of a wake sometime. We all have different tools and techniques and ways that we wake up that mojo, don't we? We're all wonderfully weird and I love that. Let's celebrate each other. I wanted to call this pep talk, or this real and raw and honest conversation, conversations with my psychiatrist. I have written a few blog posts over the years titled Conversations with My Psychiatrist, because I thought, do you know what, it's not that often, one, that we talk about therapy, and two, that we share some of the things in therapy. And yeah, I think anything I can do here to smash stigma and just kind of normalise this stuff, I will do, as long as it's not kind of triggering for me in any way. So I'm happy to share some stuff here. First off all, so I see my psychiatrist every kind of couple of months at the moment. We're just, you know, been doing a lot of healing, and she just, you know, we just discuss various things. Firstly, medication, how I'm feeling about meds, levels, how my frame of mind is, how I am just feeling health-wise, any blood tests I've had, all that sort of stuff. And I am very inquisitive and I throw loads of questions at her. And I always have, because I find it fascinating. There's still so much they can't answer about our minds. And it's funny because she was saying to me, Joe, it's so hard, because when you have been unwell, in her opinion, because everyone has different opinions, trying to convince certain mental health professionals that I was unwell, because they couldn't always see it. They were like, she's fine, she seems okay, she's, you know, yeah, just talking clearly, she's more than capable, she's high functioning, all that stuff. But yeah, everyone has different opinions, and people, still a lot we can't answer. And my opinion, as I've said here before, is it's never just mental illness. There's so much more to it than that. You know, you've got your whole emotional health, your whole spiritual health, your physical health, and they're all connected. So it's like thinking about the four of them and how we can keep the four of them kind of healthy. So she was speaking about the toxic culture, because I was saying I feel bad, you know, because we are deep wired to always be doing, achieving. You know, I love to create, I love to be productive, I love to feel like I'm being of value, I love to just do, have that sense of purpose and passion. But sometimes we do just need to rest, to heal, to be kind to ourselves. And she was saying that, you know, I often play down kind of my own traumas that I've been through, but she challenged me to actually kind of understand how much I have been through and how much self-compassion I should have. So I guess a reminder for you is take time to heal, whatever that means to you this year, and try not to feel guilty for it, because we are up against a culture of just go, go, go. And it's so freaking hard to take that time when we've had real stuff to go through, and it can be hard to acknowledge it, and it's easy to just pan it off. But sometimes we do have to acknowledge what we've been through. So don't be afraid to acknowledge if you've been through something tough. Our world is full of triggers, right? But for me, I am all about leaning into the joy, and sometimes that's really hard, right? Really hard. If you step out and you're being triggered, people are being nasty, someone's peeping at you on the road, or whatever you see, maybe the news has triggered you, I always like to write things down. Gratitude. And so I was in the supermarket with Charlie a few weeks ago. And oh my goodness. We were just going around the shop and he wanted to look at some Lego, but there was nothing that like took his fancy. And he had some of his Christmas money with him. I said, okay, we'll put that back and, you know, we can look somewhere else another time or whatever. So we just got a few things for the house. And at the end of the shop, he said, I would really like to pay for this, Mum. He's 9. I was like, no, babe, you keep your Christmas money. And he went, no, Mum, please let me. It's really important to me. I'd really like to pay for it. So I'm like, no, 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 no. So we're at the checkout and he's like, please, Mum, could you get my money out? It means a lot. I want to pay for this shop. And then the checkout girl's going, no, no, son, save your Christmas money. And he's like, look, guys, will you just let me? So I was like, okay, that's really sweet. But I said, I'll give you the money back. I'll pay for your Lego, whatever. And he said, Mum, it was just for the joy of it. You don't have to do that. I thought, oh, just for the joy of it. You know, we live in a culture where it's like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And I think that's something I really found difficult when I was building stuff, when I was raising awareness about the blog, when I was doing speaking events, when as you know, certain things, you sort of put yourself out there. But I really struggled with that. I prefer selling other people than I do myself, if that makes sense. And I had to sell myself a lot, the book, and oh, really go for it and really be all in. And I did enjoy it and I loved the opportunities that gave me from putting myself out there. Got some amazing opportunities, but I just was a part of me that was cringing constantly. I did not want to sell myself. I was not interested in it. And then I loved putting people, you know, shouting about other people. Did this a lot in my first book, shout out a lot of people that I'd met and really inspired me. But I was just doing that for the joy of it. It wasn't to get anything back. So when Charlie said that, lean into the joy, it can be hard to do that in a culture that's all about, you know, progressing and collaboration and stuff. And sometimes you just want to be nice for the joy of it, just because it feels good. And I think we need to be reminded of that. It is okay just to be nice for the joy of it. Just to embrace it. I was like, oh, when he did that, I was, oh, you know, your kids are cute and you're just like, there's certain moments that you're just so proud. I am buying him some Lego back, by the way, though, because I felt bad. But he was like, no, you don't have to, Mum. But yeah, parenting, eh? But another thing that the psychiatrist will often say is that a lot of people that work in the mental health field hate the media in terms of the way they represent mental illness. There's so much that needs changed, you know, so much. I think there are breakthroughs. A lot of you will know I started a script and in 2022, I actually rewrote it when I was in a crazy episode of extreme, I don't even know what to call it, mania, spiritual mania, emotional mania, just, oh, turbulence, emotional turbulence. I had my phone taken off me, which was great, but I was given my laptop, so I completely rewrote the script. I'd been working on it for like a year and a half, and then I rewrote it, then I was like, oh my goodness, which one do I like best? And then it was like, while I was healing, and then it was like, oh shit, right? But actually, the original script, you know, it's all about representing people with mental illness in a more compassionate way. I think things are getting better, but we need more of that. People that actually understand mental illness who are writing these scripts and showing it. There was one good thing I was watching about, it was a bit dark. I wouldn't normally watch it, but I sort of got sucked into it. And it was about some kind of evil woman who turned against some guy she'd been on a date and she started to get really nasty. And the person that they thought was the nasty one, they were saying, oh, and they had bipolar. And I was like, well, that's not a great representation. But it turned out that the person who was really nasty wasn't that person in the end. And they were just, yeah, quite nasty. Because it's that, it's showing that mental illness, people are not evil. The people I've met with mental illness, and a lot of people that my good friends and family, I wouldn't still have so many close friends and family if I was an evil person. People just know if I've not been myself, if I've been having a mental crisis, they know that that's not me and it's not my character, and there's no arrows shot intentionally. It's completely by accident. But the media can sometimes, yeah, put people on a mental health bracket as nasty or evil. And actually, yeah, trauma can make the mind quite dark and suspicious and a very scary place. But minds can break. And what my psychiatrist has said is, people are just people, you know. I've met some wonderful people who have had different forms of mental illness. The mind can break. And it's knowing that if you are triggered by someone whose mind isn't working, that they don't want to hurt you. They don't want to trigger you. Their mind is just all over the place and they're not acting accordingly. So perhaps they would normally be, if you were like a bit wary of someone, they may become completely terrified. She was saying, my psychiatrist, that a lot of people spoke about the IRA back in the day when they were having a mental health crisis of some sort. I heard people that I spoke to who weren't very well talking about things like COVID and being really obsessed with COVID and when it was going to stop and was it going to eradicate the world and when would it be eradicated. Loads of spiritual experiences, you know, people having deep found spiritual experiences, and there's still a lot they can't answer about that. You know, and a lot of things that happen, people are like, wow, like I won't list anything that, but yeah, just insane experiences that no one can really answer. But there's lots and lots of things that people go through and they would never ever want to hurt you, and they're just freaking lovely people. And I think, you know, there are some people out there that are evil. There is evil exists in the world, but they know what they're doing. They are completely aware. They're not away with the fairies, they're not high, they're not super low, they're not super anxious, they're not super darkish. They know what they're doing. And I have experienced it where someone was messaging my family saying one thing and saying a completely different thing to me and really winding me up when I was vulnerable. And it was horrible when I found it out. It was just like, oh, but I was just like, I just feel sorry for them. But yeah, it's thinking about intention. And I think we need a lot more awareness about that. But that's something we speak about. I've spoken here a lot about compliments and shouting out compliments and writing down your compliments. And I do still do that, especially when your mind can be quite nasty to you. You know, I spoke about the bright eyes and the warm face. I wrote one down the other week and it came at the best time. I just needed to hear it. It was simple, but I got a message. It said, you're very genuine, easy company with the perfect balance of being a good listener and having good chat. And at that time, sometimes the universe, God, whatever, sends these little earth angels. You know, because not everyone gives compliments. I think I want to remind you to give compliments more because you never know how you'll land. And when I got that one, and when I got the bright eyes and warm face, it just completely warmed my soul and woke me up. It's so easy to just see the negative and not take time to compliment people. But it's reminded me actually that when I get compliments myself and I write them down and I try and kind of take them on board when I'm being like, that day I was thinking to myself, I'm boring. Am I a good enough listener? do people think I'm like lots of things. And the compliment was just exactly what I needed. It was just, my mind was being an asshole. Sometimes these messages come at the best time, so hold on to these compliments for dear life, guys, and try and give them back. Give them back, because we all need built up in a world that can encourage us to be nasty, to be bitter, to be negative. If you've been hurt, yeah, just that can be hard. Take time for yourself, look after yourself. And do what lights up your soul. Always smile. I think singing's a great example, right, of when we can be negative or positive. Now, I know, I ain't no Whitney, right, but I love to sing. And I always say to people, people say to me, I can't even hold a note, I'm tone deaf. I'm like, you can sing, right? And, you know, the birds sing, so they sing whatever they want. So why can't humans, why can't we? Can't we learn from nature that it's meant to be that way, that we should sing? Now, whatever that means to you, right? To me, it just means singing through life, you know. But my daughter is mortified at the moment. She's 11. If I sing in a shop or out walking with her, she is like, "Mom, please stop it." And I'm like, "Oh, you're so annoying. I just want to sing, you know." The other day, I was in a queue for a coffee, right? And I couldn't see any staff. So it was just sort of me waiting at the counter. And one of Charlie and my songs came on. We sing it in the car together. It reminds me of him just singing. George Ezra. "I could love you. I could be anything you want of me. And in the darkness of the night, baby, let me be your light. I could love you, I could be..." And it makes me think of Charlie singing with me, and I just freaking love it. So I was singing. I wasn't singing super loud, but like there was no one there. So I was sort of like, "I could love you, I could be..." Up pops this guy from under the counter. I'm like, "Oh no, cringe, he's been there." And he was like, "You have made my day." He's like, "I love that." And I was like, "Oh my goodness." My daughter wouldn't be saying that. My daughter would not be saying that. You are a little hero here. I just thought, do you know what? Sometimes we need the coffee guy, you know? I didn't get his name. Guy that makes great coffee. Just to pop up and encourage us to have fun. Not take ourselves too seriously. And, you know, sometimes we can be triggered by the people we love. Like if my daughter's going, "Don't sing, Mum," and being a real killjoy. And I'm like, "All right, I need to keep it cool. I need to be cool, Mum," you know. And that's changeable, you know. Sometimes she'll be like saying if we're at home or whatever. But sometimes you may be triggered by someone you love who is kind of sapping your energy or pulling you back into the ego to not be in that joy, that sweet spot for the joy of it, as Charlie said that night in the supermarket. What do we listen? Who do we listen to? Do we listen to the people that are building us up? And most importantly, listen to ourselves and follow our gut feeling and learn to clear the head and just do things that help. So those are some of the things that come up in the sessions. Just if you were curious, if you were thinking about therapy yourself, very personal thing, you may go and, not like it. Maybe sometimes taking a friend out for a coffee is all the therapy you need, or going for a run, or going in the cold water, or whatever lights you up that you can do. Be kind to yourself, but don't be afraid to talk. Know when talking's triggering and know when talking's healing. I think that's really important, because if you've got stuff you've not dealt with, I'm not even going to go there. But know your triggers and... know your triggers, remember your compliments, know that the hands-on toxic environment of always achieving isn't always good for us. We need to take a step back, know when to take a step back, allow yourself time to heal. Be wary of the media, they don't always represent mental illness or mental health in a good way. Give people the benefit of the doubt when it comes to mental health. If someone's not themselves, they will not be throwing daggers intentionally. They will not be throwing arrows intentionally. But there will be some people who are. And that's why you have to be just careful who you can trust. And know that if you have been in a vulnerable situation, some people will take advantage of that, sadly. But it's all for their own power. And you just got to know that. And if people are playing mind games and stuff like that, then that's they'll get their karma, they'll get it. And just more compassion, more love, more kindness, encouraging people to be who they really are, to heal, and be honest with people as well. So much can be cleared up in a conversation. So much can be cleared up. Just treat people who haven't been themselves as human beings. We're all, as the psychiatrist says, we're all only human after all. I'll end with a quote. You guys know I love my quotes. And the last one was quite depressing. No, it was optimistic. Now I'm going to tell you a depressing one. It was something like, sometimes in life you will meet someone who sets a fire in your soul and lights you up and wakes you up, makes you feel alive. But the sad thing is, more often than not, that person can never be in your life. And I thought, oh, that's quite depressing. What I would say to that, put a wee positive spin on, if you have been inspired, celebrate it. There are so many people on the planet that can inspire you. There's so many people you've not met yet that are going to inspire you and light you up. Even something simple like the coffee guy, you know, encouraging. There's so many people, right? So don't put people on pedestals. If you've reached out to someone, you want to be friends or collaborate or whatever, and they've pied you, then remember that famous quote, you're only interesting if you're interested. So that's what I'd say to that quote. If someone isn't appreciating the energy and the value you bring, then move on. There is a world full of unbelievable people. And yes, you may meet people and you're like, wow, but they were just speaking to my heart and soul. And that's amazing. But yeah, be thankful. But at the same time, don't be hopeless, because there's a lot of amazing people out there. A lot of really beautiful people. And you're beautiful too, especially if you've sat the whole way through, because we're on to 21 minutes now. So well done on making it to the end. I hope it's helped you in some way, shape or form. I hope it's either made you feel a bit better, a little bit compassion, or a little bit education there around what happens in these situations. And yeah, I'm just sending all my love, all my good vibes, and let me go think of a song that we can recommend for the end for your playlist. Okay, all my love. Mwah. Okay guys, a song, Hypnotize, the EP mix by Coldplay. What I recommend is if you play this song, play it the whole way through. It's about 6.5 minutes. Go outside one night, right? And get wrapped up if it's still cold. Go outside when it's dark, play this song and look up at the stars. And just breathe in the magic of it all. Beautiful song for that. Beautiful song for getting a bit mindful and reflecting. And I just love it. So yeah. If you want a good karaoke song, Roxette, Must Have Been Love. It's a good karaoke one. I really enjoyed singing that a few months ago. So there you go, guys. All my love to you. Mojo. Hypnotize. For the ones that say they hate Coldplay, that's just your ego talking. You're great.